Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James on this absolutely beautiful spring Sunday morning. It is a pleasure to be here with all of you, to lift our voices to God, to proclaim our gladness and our joy, and welcome. Welcome to this holy place, and welcome to this holy time. Let us pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened.
All desires are opened, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may be perfectly loving, and ever be living and glorifying your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Behold how good a thing it is, and how becoming well, when those who kindred are delight in unity to dwell. Blessings there, a life that never ends.
Alleluia.
be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So every Sunday has a specific title to it in the church calendar. And this one is officially called the second Sunday of Easter, which is delightful. But for those of us who've been in the church for a long time, and even before that, this Sunday has a name known as Low Sunday. See, there's a sense that on Easter Sunday, everybody is coming out. You have a huge attendance number. At the 8:30 last week, we had 68 people, which is about double what we normally get. And last Sunday here for the 10:30 service, we had 169 people together. And so normally they take a break the next Sunday, like Barb, who's off camping. So there's a general expectation that when you come to the second Sunday of Easter, that it's going to be pretty thin on the ground. I'm actually surprised and delighted to see so many people in the congregation, and it's thrown this whole sermon into a completely different direction. But I can work with that. So this was normally known as Low Sunday, which is a shame because the gospel reading that we have today is one that is near and dear to my heart. The story of doubting Thomas is one that gives me far more comfort than it has any right to. Because if I'm being honest with you, and I'm going to be honest with you, even some guy who's standing at the front of the church in a fancy robe with a silly collar on has his doubts from time to time. If I look at the Old Testament scriptures and recall the story of Joshua fighting in the Battle of Midian, where God stops the sun over the battlefield to let them fight in the light a little bit longer, there's a part of me that thinks, well, the physics of doing that would be absolutely impossible. We'd all be thrown at a speed of 250 kilometers an hour eastwardly because the earth would stop. How could that work? That's got to be hyperbole. That can't be a literal story. I doubt that that happened. And I think it's fair to say that all of us in our journeys have come up with things in the stories of the scripture, have come up with things in our faith that make us think, man, really? I actually think that's one of the most honest prayers I've ever given. is finding myself in a situation and going, really? Really? That is a prayer I know I have said with absolute sincerity and authenticity. And I think Thomas did too. We hear about the disciples in the room together having this incredible experience, meeting Jesus and seeing him in the flesh after his death, the wounds on his hands and in his side, and having this profound experience of Christ risen. And what do? They tell this story to their friend who wasn't with them, who, in my opinion, rightfully is a little bit skeptical. Was there something in the water that you guys were drinking that you saw this? And says, if I don't put my fingers in the wounds of his hands and take my hand and shove it up his side, I won't believe. And it's that graphic. It's a little messy, the comments that Thomas is making. But when Jesus appears back to Thomas, when Jesus comes the next week, the message isn't, Thomas, you heard, but you didn't believe, so get out, you're done, cut off, no more grace for you. It's exactly the opposite. It's Jesus saying, if that's what you need, my friend, here, put your hand into my wound. That won't feel nice, but if you need that, put your hand into my side. That's got to be unsanitary, but if that's what you need to believe, then do it. And Thomas then says something incredibly profound and incredibly unique in the Gospels. He says, my Lord and my God. Through Thomas's doubt, through his uncertainty, and through Jesus's revelation to him, he sees something that would have been very hard for the ancient mind to comprehend. Sure, they've got the stories of Hercules as a demigod. They've got all these stories. But what Thomas says to Jesus is, my Lord and my God. Thomas sees Jesus for what Jesus truly is, God. And that's profound and powerful. Thomas doesn't say the Son of Man. Thomas doesn't say the Messiah. Thomas sees Jesus as the Lord, God Almighty. That was revealed to him through his doubt. And I think that there is great hope for each and every one of us in that. That Christ doesn't want a relationship just with people who check off all the boxes. When we go through the creed, it's not just about going, I believe in God the Father. Check. Yeah, I've got that one. I believe in God the Son. Yeah, okay. Who was conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. Well, virgin, I might underline and highlight with a question mark. That's okay to be at different places in our spiritual journey. And that's the beautiful thing of what we're called together to be. A people unified in our direction towards God, but definitely not unified in the way they were in the Acts reading, sharing all things in common. We're not in a communist compound. We're in a faith that shares together a direction, but it also shares within it a diversity. One of my friends has a church in which there is a member that they affectionately call their pet atheist. He does not believe any of the mumbo-jumbo that we do on a Sunday, and yet he is a faithful member of the congregation who loves to gather and shovel the walk and help out in this community, and there is a love and an acceptance and an embracing of that. And I think that that's an absolute beautiful thing. We don't all need to be in exactly the same spot in our spiritual journeys. Thomas was in a different spot than the disciples who saw Jesus that first time. And yet we are all invited to recognize God in our midst, God moving through us, God doing incredible things. And for that, I am so very thankful. I'm very thankful that where we are sitting in this congregation, God wants a relationship with us where we truly are. Not the masks that we put on, not our Sunday best that we wear to church so people will think we're good and pious. No, God calls to us where we are, in our doubt, in our uncertainty, in our fear, to tell us that there is a place within his kingdom within his church for each and every one of us. How beautiful is it that we're not all the same? How beautiful is it that when we doubt or fear or we don't get it right, God doesn't say, "That's it, you're done, get out." But time and time again, we're invited back into the fold. We're invited back into our place where we are in this congregation, in this church, in our faith, working and walking and moving deeper and deeper into our understanding of God. And with luck, those of us who doubt, those of us who struggle, will be a beacon for the rest of us to see how God moves in new and exciting ways. Amen. So, my friends, please stand. Having heard the words of God spoken to us through the readings of Holy Scripture, through wrestling with what they might mean for us today in the words of my sermon, let us now turn and confess our faith, the faith of our baptism, as we say, "I believe in God, the Father I would invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer, either standing, sitting, or kneeling for the prayers of the people.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace to your disciples. Breathe into your church the Holy Spirit. Give faith for doubt and boldness for fainting hearts. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace to your world. Breathe upon the nations' desire for harmony and concord. Strengthen the fearful and all who seek to reconcile places of conflict. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace to our communities. Breathe upon our common life your generosity. In your grace, open our hearts to share of our riches and poverty. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace to injured and battered peoples. Breathe upon all in special need your healing presence. Today we pray especially for Anna, Eunice, Marlene, Sylvia, Robert, Ashley, Gavin, Catherine, Alan, Mary, Nathan, Peter, Diane, Linda, and Brian. Anoint us all in your great goodness. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Lord Jesus, you announce peace in the face of death. Breathe upon all who have died your life and forgiveness. Bring light to the darkness of death and rejoicing to the place of tears. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, appeared to his disciples, and he said, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pray. God of grace, you have freed us from our sins and made us a kingdom in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Accept all that we offer you this day and strengthen us in the new life you have given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us eternal life. Therefore, joining our voices with the whole company of heaven, we sing our joyful hymn of praise to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, and death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death. We await his resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, before I break the bread in the fraction sentence, a note for communion. You're welcome to come up to the high altar to receive communion, but if you'd prefer, there'll also be a station at the Murray altar for you. Lord, we died with you on the cross.
Now we are raised to life.
We were buried in your tomb.
Now we share your resurrection.
Live in us, that we may live in you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father, we have seen with our eyes and touched with our hands the bread of life. Strengthen our faith that we may grow in love for you and for each other. Through Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.